Vishnu Sahasranam, 711 Sannivasah. This is one of those names which is easy to understand if one has some rudimentary knowledge of Sanskrit vocabulary. Sun comes from Sat, which means that is good, pure, noble, eternal. And Nivasa means residence. So this can work either way. He is the residence of those who are those and that which is good, eternal, pure, truth. That's one meaning. And another meaning that his residence is good, true, pure, eternal, and so on. Parashara Bhatta, whose commentary I'm usually referring to first, he gives the meaning that Bhagavan has this name because he is the abode of rest, the place where the great saintly persons, they find peace. They want to live in Krishna. We want to live in Krishna. We all live in Krishna because we can't be separate from Krishna. The whole universe, in one sense, is Krishna. Idang hi Vishnang Bhagavan Ivetara. In one sense, this universe is different from Krishna. But in another sense, he is the whole universe. We can't, constitutionally, we can't be separate from Krishna. But those who recognize this, they are saintly persons, and they deliberately, consciously choose to live in Krishna. And there are others who are asat, rascals, demons. They have chosen to try to pretend that there is no Krishna, that they're not dependent on Krishna, we're not living in Krishna. So Sannivasa, in some ways this name glorifies the devotees because they have deliberately, consciously taken shelter in him. A residence is a place of shelter. It's where we go to be sheltered from the vagaries of the material world. Even you see the pigeons, they don't build a nest, but they find a ledge which is sheltered, where they feel they won't be attacked by, they're not so likely to get attacked by predators. So in the same way, people who are suffering in this material world, they're feeling the pangs of material miseries. They find ultimate shelter and rest at the lotus feet of Krishna. Samarshuta ye padda pallava plavang mahatpadang punya yasho marare. Mahatpadang punya yasho marare. Bhavam buddhi vatsa padang parang padam 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 yad vipatam natesham. This whole material existence is full of repeated birth and death. It's the ocean of repeated birth and death. How many births have we had in this material world? How many atoms are there in the ocean? How many atoms are in there in the universe? If we can estimate the number of the atoms in the universe, we might be able to get an idea of a few of the lives we've had in this material world. It's miserable. It's difficult to cross this ocean of material existence, but if we take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, then crossing over this ocean of material existence becomes as easy as stepping over the water in a calf's hoofprint. The whole ocean becomes shrunk to that size. But if we don't take shelter of Krishna, then again and again, suffering in this material world. So the obvious thing to do for our own self-interest is to take shelter of Krishna, to become sat, to become saintly. What is the goal of life? To become a big rascal? No. Even to become a small rascal? No. we should become saintly. And saintly means that we recognize the ultimate Sat, the ultimate true, good, eternal, pure, that is Krishna. And then we also become Sat, and we can live in Krishna. Otherwise, Krishna, he gives a... Everyone's living in Krishna, just like everyone in the nation is living within the nation, the prisoners in the jail, they're also living in the nation, but that is not a very respectable or happy situation. We should live in a way that the king is satisfied. Nowadays there are no kings, but we follow the idea. We should live in Krishna's abode in a good way, not in a bad way. We should be saintly. That's for our own self-interest. There's a perverse idea of self-interest, to make myself very great and exploit others. But it's not. Our real self-interest is Krishna. But unfortunately, Nate Vidu Swarta Gating Hi Vishnu. Bradley, this whole discussion of Vishnu Sahasranam is so that we can have the intelligence and the knowledge and the inspiration to become Sat, to become devotees of Krishna and become qualified to be sheltered in his lotus feet. This name, Sannivasa, Parashara Bhatta, he quotes from Vishnu Purana, as usual, wherein Akrura is recorded, records his experience and realization of Sanandana and other great personalities who meditate intensely on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'll read the verse. Sanandana dhyair munibhi siddha yogaira kalmashai sanchintyamanam tatrasthai nasagranyastalochanaihi. Krishna. Akrura is going to see Krishna in Gokul. This Krishna, Akrura says, is the object of meditation for Sanandana and other great personalities, siddha yogis, who are akalmasha. Siddha yogi means perfected yogi. They have no sin in their hearts. They're completely pure. They are, what do? They are meditating in yoga, sitting in one place with their eyes fixed on the tip of their nose, but they are meditating within their heart on Krishna. So that this name means the residence of the saintly people, Sannivasa. Sri Radha Krishna Shastri gives support from Ramayana, where Tara, whose husband was killed by Rama for the sake of her husband. Oh, wait a minute, what happened there? Her husband, Vali, was killed for the sake of Sugriva, and Sugriva became her husband. So Tara praises Rama as Nivasa Vriksha Sadhunam Apananam Paragatihi. He is like Rama. She praises him as being like a great tree who gives shelter to the sadhus, whereby, by being sheltered in him, they gain the highest goal. So beautiful, isn't it? So nice. Satyadeva Vashishta takes sat here to mean those that are permanent and unchanging. Satam vinasharahitanam pravahato nityanam apralayasthayinam. And he gives the interpretation or understanding that this name indicates that he is the dwelling place of all those jivas who are eternal in the full sense, because all jivas are eternal, but those who are on the platform of eternality, those who are on the platform of Sat. They do not go through the cycle of birth and death. He is the eternally perfect persons, known in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, the Nitya Suris. So they dwell in him, and he also dwells in them. Loka lokantarani nijya satayam vasayantam teshu va vasantam iti bhavaha. This is the meaning. So saintly persons, they also want to live in a nice place. Materialistic people, they want to live in a nice place. One of the great afflictions that's recognized as a great affliction, if people are homeless, it's considered a very poor position. Of course, some people choose to be homeless for spiritual reasons. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Aniketa, people for spiritual progress, they choose to be homeless. But these saintly people, they also are looking for a home, a place of shelter. That means that they know that their real home is back home, back to Godhead at the lotus feet of Krishna, beyond all the miseries of this material world. And it's Krishna, he provides such a place in the spiritual world for them so that the saintly people can happily live there. Baladev Vidyabhushan speaks about the Lord's abode as Dwaraka. Yeah, he says Dwaraka, not Vrindavan. And he says it's Sat. It's very beautiful. Dwaraka is very beautiful. Interesting, huh? He gave Dwaraka, and he didn't say Vrindavan. Of course, the Lord's abode, if we take him as Vishnu, he lived more time in Dwaraka. He made a house there, whereas he didn't make a house. He was in someone else's house, Nanda Maharaj's house, Nanda Bhavan in Vrindavan. So he himself, he made his own griha. He became a grihastha. He made his own home in Dwaraka. So it's very beautiful. Dwaraka is very beautiful. Such a beautiful place, more beautiful than the Nandankanan of the heavenly planets. The Nandankanan, the pleasant gardens of the heavenly planets. Here's a meaning given from the Madhva Sampradaya commentary. Santa Saduna Nirasanti Asmin Iti Sannivasa. It's written Nirasanti. I wonder if that should be Nivasanti. Maybe it's a typo. Anyway, the meaning they give, Vishnu is called Sannivasa because all Mangala, all auspicious qualities reside in him. So he is the abode of all auspicious qualities. So shall we discuss that? Well, we are. The whole Vishnu Sahasranama is a massive discussion of the glorious qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. So without elaborating on that further, for further information, refer back to the 700 or so lectures on this, or all the Vedic literatures. All the Vedic literatures describe the glories of Lord Krishna. And it could be elaborated on here now, but I'll go on to the next name, which is directly connected with Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. When we think of Vrindavan, what do we think of? We think of Nanda, Yashoda, Radha, the other gopis, the cowherd boys, and of course, Yamuna. There's no Vrindavan without Yamuna. So one name of Krishna given here in Vishnu Sahasranam, name 712, is Suyamunaha. Yamunaha is a Sanskrit modification of the word Yamuna. And Yamuna means that which is in relationship with Yamuna. So su is a prefix which means good, very good, very nice. So Yamuna is always nice, and he, Krishna, is also very nice, and he's always in relationship with the Yamuna river. Different meanings are given for this name. Mostly connected with the Yamuna River, but there are others also. Parashurabhata gives the meaning. He delightfully sports in the Yamuna River. Oh, so nice to remember. So nice, nice, nice. Oh, there's the conch. All auspicious. We just heard Sandevasa. The sound of the conch, so auspicious in relation to Krishna. That's the end of the arati, midday arati. So, Parashurabhata, Shobanam Pavanam Manoharam Yamuna Sambandi Jala Kriya Pushpa Chaya Rasa Kriyaradi Yasya Iti Su Yamunaha. He is Su Yamuna, this is the translation, because all of his art activities with connection with the Yamuna. Practically in Vrindavan, everything's in connection with the Yamuna. Even you may say, well, the gopis at home, they're not, the elderly gopis of Yashoda's age, they're not dancing on the bank of the Yamuna with Krishna. So what are they got to do with the Yamuna? Well, they cook for Krishna. They cook, right? And you've got to use water for cooking. Where does the water come from? It comes from the Yamuna. In Vrindavan, no one digs. In the pastimes, we don't hear of them taking water from the well. They all go to fetch water from the Yamuna. Yamuna salila ahararegiya. Bhujibo jugalarash. Bhaktivinoda Thakur envisions himself as a gopi in Vrindavan, going to collect water from the Yamuna, because that's what housewives do. That's one of their jobs. There's division of labor. One of the housewives' job is to collect the water from the river. So he said, Bhaktivinoda says, as in this role, I'll go to the Yamuna and then I'll understand the blissful, loving relationships between Radha and Krishna. So of course these gopis are no ordinary girls, not ordinary housewives. So what is there about the Yamuna? Yamuna is Shobanam. Very nice. Pavanam, purify. Manoharam, charming. Yamuna Sambandhi, Krishna. Everything in relation with Yamuna is very nice, auspicious, purifying, charming. Of course, because in relation with Krishna. But we can also say that Krishna so much likes the Yamuna because she has these qualities. Qualities because she's in relationship with Krishna, but Krishna also enjoys these qualities. And all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they love the Yamuna. Who will not love the Yamuna? Then what else is there? Jala Kriya, Krishna sports in the waters of the Yamuna with his cowherd boys and the cowherd girls and the cows. Pushpachaya, collecting flowers on the banks and even within the Yamuna, different flowers grow within the river. Rasa Kriya Arni, he performs pastimes such as his rasa dance. In the Yamuna, also, yeah, in the Yamuna. There's one time is described, not in the Srimad Bhagavatam as we have it now, but in sometimes Krishna, because he performs all his pastimes repeatedly, and they're not exactly the same every time. So one time when he's dancing on the heads of the Kaliya, then he calls all the gopis, and they dance with him too, because the gopi, oh, now we get into so many different stories. So many different, The gopis, they were just at home thinking about Krishna, and then when they all ran to the Yamuna to see Krishna, it was the first time they all publicly came out and saw Krishna, and then after that they weren't associating with him before that directly. Well, they didn't ever directly associate with him. So it was before that was Purva Rag. They were just thinking about Krishna. It would be so nice to be with Krishna. Then when they ran to the bank of the Yamuna for Kaliya. One time Krishna called them onto the heads of Kaliya and said, "Hey, you come and dance with me too. Let's all have fun. It's fun dancing on the heads of a snake. You've got to be pretty expert to dance on the heads of a snake so you don't get bitten and the heads are moving here and there." So there was a Rasa Kriya right in the Yamuna, not to mention on the banks of the Yamuna, and in so many places also. There are so many places. So Krishna performs his pastimes of dancing with the gopis, Rasa Leela, in various parts of Raja Mandala, and of course also on the bank of the Yamuna. Even in the Tirupavai, that's mentioned. How Yamuna is so sacred. Srinatha Munigal says that in the Tirupavai, he says that he's looking around on the bank of the Yamuna. Anything left over from that, and anything, the gopis, any remnant of the gopis left, he's looking for that. Madhva Sampradaya, commentary, Shobanang Yamunam. Yamuna sambandhi jalam kaliya nishkasanena yasman iti suyamuraha. Again, this is again connected with Kaliya. Kaliya poisoned the water of the Yamuna, but Krishna drove Kaliya out and saved the river. Is doing an anti-pollution job to save the cows and the gopas and the gopis. For this reason, Krishna is called Suyamuna. Shankaracharya gives a very nice meaning, very charming meaning. Those who are in relationship with the Yamuna are also called Yamuna. So all the residents of Vrindavan, they're all Su also, they're all very good, and Krishna is associated with all of them. So in this way, Yamuna sambandina yamunaha, this is Shankara's understanding. Another understanding, Krishna has blessed the people around the Yamuna River to be protected, to have nice water, good environment and prosperity. Of course, it's horrible to state it. We don't want to remember it, but we should do. Because it's a very sad situation. This is Kali Yuga. Now the water of the Yamuna in Vrindavan is so polluted. Baladev gives the meaning. Baladev Vidyabhushan. The forests of Vrindavan, beginning with Mahavana. They're all, some are on the west side, some are on the east side of Yamuna. That's how it's just like in Bombay, you say Andheri East, Andheri West, according to its situation, according to the railway line. And then you get Bandra East, Bandra West, all these suburbs on the western railway, the local railway line. So in the same way, we get forests that are east of Yamuna and west of Yamuna. So they're all connected with Yamuna. They're all very beautiful and they're all Krishna's. So in this way, Krishna is Su Yamuna. Here's a very nice quote from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 19, Text 6, from Srila Prabhupada's glorious purport. Lord Krishna's lotus feet are always besmeared with the tulsi leaves, and thus, as soon as his lotus feet contact the water of the Ganges and the Yamuna, the rivers become at once sanctified. However, the Lord, however, contacted the river Yamuna more than the Ganges. According to the Varaha Purana, as quoted by Srila Jiva Goswami, There is no difference between the water of the Ganges and the Yamuna, but when the water of the Ganges is sanctified 100 times, it is called the Yamuna. Similarly, it is said in the scriptures that 1,000 names of Vishnu are equal to one name of Rama, and three names of Lord Rama are equal to one name of Krishna. Good to remember as we're discussing the 1,000 names of Vishnu. So Yamuna, it's just like with any of these names, you could go on describing. I could take a diversion here now into there's the 1,000 names of Yamuna and go through each name of the Yamuna River and the goddess Yamuna, and so how all her qualities are in relationship with Krishna. But I'm not an Andrasesha. I don't have unlimited time, energy, intelligence, mouths to speak the glories of the Lord. So I won't go through the 1,000 names of Yamuna. Yamuna Ashtaka is the 8 names in glorification of Sri Yamuna. Anyway, I'll go on. There are other names or other understandings of this name given by different acharyas who are commenting. Krishna Datta Bharadvaja, he gives a completely different meaning for this name, Sri Yamuna. He says that Yamuna means a type of collyrium. Something like mascara, eye decoration, and medicinal also. So he gives the understanding, Sundaram Yamunam Nayananjanam Yasya Iti Suyamunaha. He who has beautiful collyrium decorating his eyes. Satya Devo Vashishta takes a different meaning as usual. He uses the root yam uparame to lift up as the basis of his interpretation. He gives the meaning yachati uparamayati. He who lifts up for the word yamuna. And thus, shobhano yamunaha su yamuno vishnuhu. One who lifts up the souls in an auspicious way. So you may say, oh, that means delivering them from birth and death. But he specifically says during the time of pralayam, when everyone is going to, the whole universe, everything becomes drowned, then there's the annihilation. And the living beings who are struggling in material existence, they get a little rest before they go out to they rest within the body of Vishnu. He lifts them up from their suffering condition, but as they want to go and fulfill their desires, they go back again. So that's the name meaning given by Satyadeva Vashishta. And I'm going to finish this little talk on Suyamuna, Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpatarubhyas charkipasindhubhyas evachapatitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.